We begin the current daf himself, this Bay Daf Lamed Vav. We begin at the top of the Yomid, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. And that is, we began the new perek on the previous daf, where the Mishnah opened up with the halacha that Mashilin Peris Derech Rubu Yantim. Person is allowed to lower down the produce from the roof through the skylight if it's going to rain and the produce is going to get ruined. Now, although we cannot do that on Shabbos, on Yom Tov we had certain leniencies because of the loss that's going to come to the person's produce. Now, the reason why one would not be able to lower down the produce is because of a tircha. One's not supposed to go through certain exertions on Yom Tov, and therefore, as our Gemara will illustrate today, although we're allowed to do it through the skylight, but to do it, let's say, from one roof to another roof, would not be permitted. Anything that requires a little bit more than this minimal exertion would actually be forbidden, even on Yom Tov. Now, on that, our Mishnah asked on the previous staff, so therefore, how much produce are we allowed to lower through the skylight? If you have bundles and bundles and bundles, it's going to be a tircha even through the skylight. So therefore, the Gemara wanted to prove from a Mishnah Masechet Shabbos, which that Mishnah said, a similar type of halacha, where one is not allowed to go through the tircha of emptying out his storehouse to make room for different things. So that the Mishnah there said, you could empty out 4 or 5 boxes of straw of produce if one needs room for guests or room for the students to learn in the Beis Medrash. So therefore, the Gemara wanted to compare to our Mishnah, that how many bundles can you lower through the skylight from the roof, would be 4 or 5 boxes. Now the Gemara said, 3 differences between these two halachas that we couldn't compare that Mishnah that's talking about in the Masechet Shabbos to our Mishnah in Masechet Beah. One difference is that there's a mitzvah purpose. There's hachnasas archim, or there's the learning in the Beis Medrash, whereas here where we don't have that element, it's just a loss of money, maybe we wouldn't let that many boxes. Another difference is there is talking about Shabbos, which is very stringent halacha, whereas here it's Yom Tov, which is more lenient. Therefore, maybe we might come to be lax in it if we let you take that many. There we let you take that many, because you're not going to be lax, because it's very stringent, that of Shabbos. Another difference, which would be in the reverse, which would be saying that maybe over there by Shabbos, where there is no loss of money, it's just to make room for people, we only let you around 4 or 5. But here we're talking about a loss of money where the rain's going to ruin the produce. Maybe we let you even more than 4 or 5, and therefore you can't compare the two different halachas. Now, related to that, continuing on this theme about the comparison between our Mishnah and the Mishnah within Masechet Shabbos, the Gemara continues with 3 other comparisons to see if we could compare the two different halachas. Tanan Hassam, we learned over there in that Mishnah again in Masechet Shabbos, which essentially what the Gemara is saying is that there's another question that we could ask. It says over there, Avaloya Sa'itzer. However, although we let you clear out 4 or 5 boxes for the guests or for learning Torah, but you can't clear out a storehouse. Now, Shmuel came to explain my Avaloya Sa'itzer. What does it mean, but you can't clear out a storehouse? We're obviously talking about that where you keep the 4 or 5 boxes are in the storehouse, then you can make room for the guests. So what does it mean, but not a storehouse? So on that, Shmuel explained, it meant Avalo Yigmer Sa'itzer Kula. It means, but you can't totally clear out the storehouse. And that is, if let's say there were only in the storehouse 4 or 5 boxes left, which we had actually permitted in that Mishnah Masechet Shabbos for the guests of learning Torah, in such a case where these are the last boxes left, we did not permit you to go ahead and clear them out. And because in that process, you're going to be uncovering the entire floor, because now there's not going to be any boxes left. And the reason why we didn't let you do that was because Dilma, maybe there's going to be some type of a pit in the ground. Now, Aslashui Gumis, the tendency of people is they want to flatten out the floor, not that it should have this big pit. And now that you clear it out, you can just start looking around, surveying your whole floor. And therefore, you might come to flatten out the hole, which will be an Isser of Bainam. And therefore, we don't allow you to clear it out, even though we let you do 4 or 5 boxes, not when it's finishing it off. Now, therefore, the Gemara wants to make the comparison between that Mishnah and our Mishnah. So, Hacha, regarding the halacha of Mashil and Peris on Yom Tov, what would be the halacha if you would be emptying out, let's say we let you a certain amount, which we're not sure as we asked on the previous staff, would it also be 4 or 5 boxes? But however much it is, let's say these would be the last boxes on the roof that you're letting through the skylight. And then the question would be, would we say that here also would be forbidden? Because even though we generally let you, because now you might come to survey your roof, and you might come to flatten out if you see any holes. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, what would be the reason to say that we would compare it or not? And that is, Hasam hu b'Shabbos to Asim b'Shum d'Chamer. Maybe there we didn't let you, although we let you generally clearing out 4 or 5 boxes for guests or learn Torah, that's only when there's none left, when there's still more left. But if these are the last ones, we said you cannot, because Shabbos is a very stringent halacha. Avo Yom Tov dekil Shabbos dami, but Yom Tov, which is more lenient, we let you do certain things that on Shabbos we didn't. Maybe we actually would let you finish off the roof in spite of the fact that one might come to survey the floor. Or maybe that no. If over there, where there was a purpose of why we're letting you clear out these four or five boxes, which is because for learning Torah. And yet still we said that you're not allowed to go ahead and clear them out. Here, where there's no loss of Torah learning, it's just a loss of some money, for sure, we wouldn't let you come to possibly violate an Isser, the Raisa of Boina, of building, of fixing the structure of the roof by filling in the hole. So therefore, that's a second question that we have. Do we compare the two halachas of that Mishnah to our Mishnah? Are we allowed to clear off, even though we generally let you, let's say, clear out the storehouse or lower the produce from the roof? However, just like over there, we don't let you do the last ones. Would we also say the same thing over here or not? Again, the Gemara says, v'hachatznan. And here we learn in our Mishnah, which basically means to say a third question that we have between comparing the two Mishnayas. We learned in our Mishnah, Meshilim Peiris Derech Aruva B'Yamtim. We're allowed to lower down the produce through the skylight in Yamtim. Now, V'amar Reb Nachum came to qualify this halacha, and he said, Lo Yishanu Ela Bo'Eis HaGag. We only learned this heter, this permission of lowering down through the roof, only if it's that same roof. And that is, the skylight is in the same roof of where the produce is in. HaMegag LeGag Loi. But if it would require taking it from one roof to another roof and then lowering through that other roof skylight, that's not permitted. But Tana Melech, and similarly in the Brayos, like he says, that emetat, we're not allowed to move the produce that's on the roof, which you're coming to lower down because of the rain, migag legag, from one roof to another roof. Afilikisha gagoy saying, and this is even if the roofs of the two houses are shoven, even if they're equal, where there is no extra effort of picking it up or lowering it down. However, since it's going from one roof to another, even though it's laterally, it doesn't make a difference. It's more effort than just pushing it down the skylight. That would be forbidden. As we said, we only allow minimal tircha on Yom Tov. Now, on that, the question is, what's the halacha hasamai? What's going to be the halacha over there in that Mishnah Masechet Shabbos? That is hacha hu da'asir. Here we say in our Mishnah, it's forbidden to go from roof to roof. Mishum Yom Tov, the kill of asir lezalzulebe. Because, as we said before, Yom Tov is more lenient on some level than Shabbos. Now, therefore, we're not letting you do anything more than a minimal, because if we give you an inch, you take a foot. Because Yom Tov, it's not so chamer, and people might come to be mekel even more, which we definitely are not going to allow. And that's why we don't let you go even from roof to roof. Av Shabbos de chamir, av loy osel lezalzulei bei, but regarding the halachos of Shabbos, which are very stringent, people are very careful about Shabbos. People are not going to come to disgrace if we let you take a certain amount to do more than Shaper Dami, maybe there. The equivalent of taking from roof to roof, which would be from this Eitzah to another one, we would allow you to go and take from one domain to another domain, and that wouldn't be considered an extra, a Tirchi Yisera. Adimo, maybe not. And that is because Ma Hocha Deke have said payers. If we say over here by our halacha in this Mishnah, Masechet Tzibeah, by the halachas of Yom Tov, where there's a loss to the produce that's on the roof because the rain's going to ruin it, still Amrit Lai, still we say that we're not letting you take it from roof to roof to lower it through that roof's skylight. Sahasam, the lekahefsed peris, but so they're in the halacha mesechta Shabbos, where there's no loss to the produce, there's nothing that's going to happen to it. Just wanted to make room for the guests or for people to learn. Like Koshkin, isn't it most definitely that for sure we wouldn't let you go through this tirchi seira of going from one domain to another domain? And therefore, that's the third question that the Gemara had. Do we compare the halachas of our Mishnah to that Mishnah mesechta Shabbos? A fourth question of comparison between the two Mishnayos. Hacha, and the Gemara says, Tanya, here, in regarding to our halachas that we're discussing in our Mishnah, we learned a brisa, which is talking about a specific case. If, for example, if the roof that we're talking about, where the produce is on when it's starting to rain, is surrounded with walls now, and there is no skylight to push it down, but there is a window in that wall that surrounds the roof that goes into a courtyard or into a house. Now, that the brisa says lo yishal shlem, you're not allowed to lower it in sacks, bechevel through ropes, bechaloinis through the windows. Now, and the reason is because there's an extra, it's more than the minimal tirch of just pushing through the skylight. You actually have to pick it up off the floor of the roof to the window, and from there down to the ground, which is a little bit more than the minimal tirch, and we don't allow that. And below you read them derech salomas, and neither can you lower it down from the roof through ladders, which, as Rashi explains, it means any steps is called ladders, or even ramps are called ladders. We just let you through a skylight, you just go straight down, gravity does the job. You can't have it pushed down steps or ramp. Now that the question is, hasamai, what would be the halach over there in the Mishnah Masechta Shabbos, the equivalent of that removing the boxes, would we say the same thing, that it's just a minimal, or would we say that it's going to be that you actually could do what we're saying here, that's forbidden of picking it up a little bit. So let's say there's an elevation there that you have to go through to get the boxes out, to clear it out for the guests learning Torah. Would that be permitted or would it not, as we said in this braisa regarding our halacha? As the Gemara explains, do we make this comparison or not? Hacha b'yam tev huda aser. Maybe we'll say over here by yam tev it's forbidden to do a little bit more than the minimal. You actually have to pick it up a little bit. Deleka bitl besa medrash, because there is no loss of learning Torah. Of a Shabbos tikkun besa medrash, but regarding that halacha mishnah mesech the Shabbos, which was talking about that they needed room for the people to learn Torah, shapadami, there it actually would be permitted. We could pick it up a little bit more and get it over this elevation to get it out. Ideal more, maybe not. Hachad, it could have superior summer lie. If here in our Mishnah Masech this Beya, where we said that even though there's a loss of produce, and still we said you're not allowed to, if it requires a little bit more than just pushing it down. So Hasam Delika have superior like Hashkin. So there in that Mishnah where there's no loss to produce, then for sure we wouldn't be able to do more than the minimal tircha, and therefore it would be us there too. And the Gemara concludes regarding all these four questions. If we compare our two halachas, take it, let it stand. It's not clear would we make the comparisons, because there are variables in each halacha that are different than the other, and therefore it's not indicative that if we say the halacha by here or there, that the same thing would apply to the other halacha of our Mishnah or that Mishnah Masechta Shabbos. Now the Gemara continues explaining our Mishnah from the previous daf. We said, Umechasenes HaPeris, another heter we allowed, although we don't allow tirchas generally, but we allowed one to cover one's produce if the rain is dripping on the produce. So on that, the Gemara brings a machlekes regarding what actually did we permit you to cover to protect them on Yom Tov. Amar Ula, Ula says, Afila Aveira Delivna. He says, even if they're just bricks that are piled up one on top of the other, which are muktza, they're set aside for building. Now, when the rain comes, drips down on it, the person's afraid that they're going to dissolve, it's going to ruin the material of the brick. Now, that is what Ula is saying. One could actually even pick up vessels and cover them for the needs of the bricks. And we don't say that, you can't even move the bricks themselves because they're muktzah. Most definitely you can't move a vessel for that. And that Ula says, no, although you can't move the bricks, you could move vessels for the purpose of the bricks and cover them on Yom Tov. Rabbi Yitzchak Amar, he argues, he says, no, it's dafka, peiros, ruin, has to be produce that fit themselves to be moved. There is where the Rabbanah permitted one now, and we're not concerned about the tircha, to go ahead and move vessels or garments to cover them for their needs. But something that it itself cannot be moved, on that you're not allowed to move a utensil, a vessel, for its purpose. As the Gemara says, as Rabbi Yitzchak's opinion is mentioned elsewhere, as Masechta the Shabbos, Rabbi Yitzchak says, ein kli nitel ella, a utensil cannot be moved only if it's for the tzairich, for the purpose of ledavar hanitel b'Shabbos, for something that itself can be moved on Shabbos. But if you can't move that object, then you can't move an object for that either. That would be included in the halachas of muktza, of not allowing one to move something for something that in itself cannot be moved. And therefore he holds you can't cover bricks on Yom Tov because the bricks themselves cannot be moved, so you can't move the other kalim for the purpose of the bricks. Now that the Gemara continues with many different rayas with for either one of these two opinions of Ula, that you could move something and cover something that in itself is muktza cannot be moved, or like Rabbi Yitzchak, that no, you could only move something for something that could be moved. So now we learn in our Mishnah, and that's where this sugya is introduced over here. Mechasenes haperis bekelim. We said in that Mishnah that you could cover produce with kelim. Now that the inference is seems to be like Rabbi Yitzchak. Peiris, and it sounds like produce you can go ahead and cover a very delivni lay. But bricks that are just piled up one on top of the other, that would be forbidden, because if you could even do by something that's mukta, so you should have said a bigger chiddush. Why are you saying just produce? Sounds like Rabbi Yitzchak. I think Gemara says no. Hordina fila very delivni. We could say like Ula, that you could even cover it if it's just bricks lying one on top of the other. But the ID, the Tana, Reisha, Mashil, and Paris, but now since the Reisha had to be talking about lowering down produce from the roof, which means to say that it has to be produce that's fit for use on Yom Tov, because if it would be talking about something that's not used for Yom Tov, then you wouldn't be able to move it to lower it down through the skylight. So now once we had to say a case of Paris, which would be something that you could move, and then we allowed you to do the tircha, to taking off the roof. So therefore, the Sefer also is talking about Paris are ruined, Tana Sefer Nam Mechasnes HaPeris. So that's why the Sefer also said regarding covering things, it also spoke about the same case of Paris, but actually the Sefer is Lav Davka, and it actually would be not only for Paris, even for things that are Muktzah, like Aver Delivni, like just bricks that are Muktzah for building purposes. So the Gemara continues trying to bring a Raya from our Mishnah. Then we learned in our Mishnah, said v'chein kadayin v'kadishemenet, and also not just can you cover produce with kelim on Yom Tov, but also with barrels of wine and jugs of oil. Now the raya seems to be that These cases of Kadi Yain and Kadi Shemen were not spoken about in the Reisha, which was like getting the things off the roof because of the rain. Now, since the Tana here is coming to teach us other things that you could cover besides Paris, which he already spoke about, so he should have said even a bigger Chiddush, because now you can't say that, oh, because we said in the Reisha, that's what we're saying in the Sefer, of bricks, which are Muktzah, and most definitely we would know that you could move it to cover Kadi Yain and Kadi Shemen. Now, from the fact that it only said Kadi Yain and Kadi Shemen, which are not Muktzah, which are usable on Yom Tov, must be like Rav Yitzchak, and that's why he could cover it, but if it was bricks, it would be Asr. And the Gemara says, no, that's also not a riot. Because Hacha Mayaskinen, actually, we're talking about Betivla. We're talking about that these wine and oil are Tevel, that they're untithed produce. Now, actually, what the Gemara is answering for Ula is that the Mishnah is actually coming to tell you something just like bricks. That these jugs of wine that we're saying, they're talking about Tevel, which are forbidden to be moved. And that the Mishnah is teaching that although in the Reisha we talked about a case of Peiros, and now the reason, as Ula explained, we spoke about Paris was because the Reisha was talking about Paris, of Mashil and of lowering it through the roof. But now we want to tell you another case, which would tell us the Chiddush that we're trying to add on, is even something that's not fit for Yom Tov, which is Muktzah. Still, you're allowed to cover it because actually this Kadayan and Kadayan Shemen are Muktzah because they're Tevel. And actually the Gemara says, Hachanam Mistabra. It actually makes more sense the way we're explaining now, as Ula would learn. Because if you would assume, as we had asked that question, which it seems to be a riot to Rabbi Yitzchak, that only because it's something that's not Muktzah, that's why you could cover it, that actually they're permitted jugs of wine and oil, but Hatani Le Reisha Paris. But the Reisha already told us something that is edible, that could, it's usable for Yom Tov. We spoke about Paris. What more would we be saying by adding on the case of Kadi Yain and Kadi Shemen if it wasn't Tevel? Must be that it's Tevel like Ula, and we're coming to say a bigger Chiddush. Not only something that's Mutter on Yom Tov, but even something that's Muktzah on Yom Tov, like these Kadi Yain and Kadi Shemen that are Tevel. But if you learned like Rabbi Yitzchak, what would we be adding with the case of Kadi Yain and Kadi Shemen? Nothing more says no. That's not a riot, not like Rabbi Yitzchak. Because Kadi Yain and Kadi Shemen Itzuch Aleinu, we had to say, even though they're both, this seems to be the same, Peiros and Kadi Yain and Kadi Shemen, that are permitted items that are not Muktzah on Yom Tov, there was an added Chiddush that we needed them for. Because Sogadetach, I mean, I would have thought to say, had I only said the case of Peiros, Lehefsim Meruba Chashashu, that we were concerned that we allowed a Tircha, the Chacham allowed a Tircha on Yom Tov for a great loss. Lehefsim Mu'at Lechashu, but for a small loss, they would not allow one to go through the Tircha of covering it on Yom Tov. And that is, when the rain is coming down on the jugs of wine and oil, that's only a small loss, that it's just making it more diluted, but it's not ruining it. Now, maybe that would not be permitted to go ahead and remove it. But regarding the produce in the Mishnah, I would have thought to say that it's being marked, if it's going to rot and ruin it by being rained on, that we let you take down, because that's a large loss. But a hefzim mu is a small loss, we would not allow that. That's kamashmul, and that's what the Mishnah is teaching by adding on the case of Kadi Yain and Kadi Shemen, not because of like Ula, it's teaching you even though that they're Muktzah. No, for Muktzah actually, you cannot go ahead and move something else for it. We're talking about an added chiddush of that, not only a large loss, but even the small loss, we allowed one to go through the tircha of covering that on Yom Tov. Now the Gemara continues trying to bring a raya from our Mishnah, now this time to prove like Ula. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, Nois neklitach hazadel b'shabbos. You're allowed to put a utensil underneath where, let's say, it's dripping into one's home, you can go ahead and put a cup, a bowl, to go ahead and catch those drops. Now, obviously we see that a kli could be moved for something that's muktzah, because these drops are not fit for anything. And yet still we see, like Ula, that you could move something for muktzah on Shabbos. So that the Gemara answers for Abiyat. Look, no, it's not a raya. We're talking about bedela faro. We're talking about for drops of rain that are actually fit because they're clear raindrops which are fit for the animals to drink. They're not spoiled water. And therefore, it's not a raya. It's not considered muktzah, and that's why you can move the kli to catch that. So the Gemara says, Toshim, I come in here again. We'll bring another raya to Ula. Learn a braisa that says, Person machtzelus, we could spread out a mat, al gabi levein b'shabbos, on top of bricks and Shabbos. Now that seems to be clearly like Ula, that although that it's muktzah, bricks, but still, you can go ahead and cover a mat. You can move a kli for it on Shabbos. Nothing more answers for a bit. Look, no. We're talking about dayatur mibinyana, that these are bricks that are left over from building. The chazil lemizgalai, where it's fit for people to sit on them, and therefore it has a utility on Shabbos, and therefore it's not going to be muktzah, and therefore you can move the machtzelis to cover it, that these bricks do not get ruined on Shabbos. So we must toshma come and hear another raya. It says, person, we learned in the braisa, person machtzelis agabevon b'Shabbos. Again, that one could spread out a mat on top of stones on Shabbos. So here we have that these stones, they have to be dried out for building. When they get wet, then you have to go back and dry them again. Now, therefore, because if they're wet, they won't be able to stick well with the cement, and therefore it's going to take long in the process of the building. Therefore, we said that these rocks, one could go ahead and cover them with mats on Shabbos. Now, one thing we see is that although that they're muktzah, they're meant for building purposes, and yet still we see that one could move a mat to cover it on Shabbos. So we see like Ula, that you could move something that's permitted to move even for a muktzah item on Shabbos. Again, the Gemara answers, for Rabbi Yitzchak, no, we're talking about vanim mikruzalis. We're talking about stones that are pointy. That is the chazal beis hakisa, where they're fit to be used in the lavatory for one to wipe themselves, because since it has a point, so then one could go ahead and use it to clean the orifice, that it's not going to be dirty, and since it has utility on Shabbos, so it's not muktzah, and that's where you could use the mats to cover that on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Tashma come in here, another raya, like Ula. Learn that braisa, person machtzeles al gabi kaveris devarim b'Shabbos. We can go ahead and cover the beehive of the bees with a mat on Shabbos. And that is b'cham ne'achama, whether it's in the summertime because of the intense heat, or b'cham ne'agasham, or in the wintertime because of the rain. For either one, one could go ahead and cover it from the elements. As long as one does not intend, when he's covering it, to trap the bees that are inside, which would then be a malacha d'oraisa of tzeda, as long as that's not your intention, you're allowed to go ahead and cover it. But one thing we see is that you're allowed to go ahead and take a mat to cover a beehive, which has no utility, is going to be considered muktzah on Shabbos, and yet still we can go ahead and cover it. So obviously you see like Ula, that you can move a permitted item for a muktzah item. And that the Gemara answers, no, hasanami, there also is not difficult to contribute. Dika dvash, because there's honey inside the honeycombs, inside the beehive. And since there's something that's permitted inside, so the whole item is not considered muktzah, and that's why you can go ahead and cover it with a kli. Now, that the Gemara asks, amalei rav ukva mimeshon rav Ashi, says, this answer that you're giving, that there's honey inside, and that's why the item, the beehive, is not considered muktzah, and that's why you can move a kli on top of it to answer for Rabbi Yitzchak. But hotenach b'moisachama dika dvash. That's good for the summer months, that we said you're covering it because of the heat, where there is honey during the summer months. But b'moisak shamayek lameima, but during the winter months, when the bees do not have that honey throughout the winter, what are you going to say over there? We said then you're allowed to cover it because of the elements of the rain. How are you allowed to cover it if there's no honey? And then it's going to be muktzah. And according to Rabbi Yitzchak, that's difficult because you can't move a mat, which is a permitted item, for a muktzah item of the beehive. So now the Gemara answers, loy netzucha. No, that actually the honeycomb, the beehive, will not be muktzah even during the wintertime because there are two loaves of honey that are placed in, that are left inside the beehive. Even when we empty out the beehive during the summer months, we leave for the sustenance of the bees, we leave them two loaves of honey. As Rashi explains that the way that the beehives are made, that there's loaves of honey, which are called in these honeycombs, so they leave it for the bees throughout the winter months. Now, because of those two lobes, that's why we're allowed to go ahead and cover the beehive, because of those, that there is still some honey that's left inside, and therefore there is something that's not muktzah, which has utility on Shabbos, and therefore that's why even according to Yitzchak, you could cover the beehive on Shabbos. Now, that the Gemara asks, how can you say that? What do you mean? Those two loaves of honey, they're not considered something that's mukhan, that's prepared for Shabbos. They're also muktzah because they're set aside for the bees. Why do you think we left it there? No one's taking it because we need the bees to survive, because or else they're not going to have anything to live off. So what inside over here that's not muktzah, because even these two loaves are muktzah, how are you allowed to go ahead and cover it with a mat? And then the Gemara says, that's not a difficulty, because we're talking about that the person thought about it, that he wants it to be used for a person. So though, yes, originally it was muktzah, but before Shabbos, he had in mind that, no, it's mukhan. He wants to be able to eat that honey, he's not concerned about the bees. Now, but then the Gemara asks, if that's the case, the way you're answering now, but if the person had not thought about it before Shabbos, about these two loaves of honey that we leave for the bees throughout the winter, or the halacha be, then actually you would not be able to go ahead and take the mat and cover the beehive, because then, as Rabbi Yitzchak had explained, there's not going to be anything over here that has utility, because even the two loaves are muktzah for the bees, and you're not allowed to move a permitted item for a muktzah item on Shabbos. But if that's the case, adotoni, but from the fact that the braisa continues and says, ubevachli iskaven lotzud, that okay, although you're allowed to go ahead and cover the beehive, as long as your intention is not to go ahead and trap the bees that are inside, which would be a different halachic problem of tzeda. Now, the inference is that it sounds like from the braisa that there was nothing else that we could have found to say that's going to be usur until we moved over from the halachas of muktzah to the malacha of tzeda. That's what it sounds like. It sounds like it's okay. You're allowed to go ahead and cover the beehive, because of what's permitted inside, at least the way we explain it, Kuentra B'Yitzchak. There's honey that's permitted. But as long as your intention is not for a different malacha, we're concerned you might violate a different malacha of Tzedah. Now that the Gemara is asking, however, liflig v'listening b'dida, but according to you, the way you just defined it, they should have differentiated in this Isser itself they were talking about, that of Muktzah, we could have differentiated and found that there is going to be a case of being Asr, and we wouldn't have to go ahead and look for something else that might be a possible violation of Tzedah. And the Brisa should have said as follows. When did we say that actually it's permitted to take a mat to cover a beehive? If someone thought about using these two loaves of honey that are inside, and then even during the winter months, you're allowed to go ahead and cover with a mat. But if you did not think about it before Shabbos to use the two loaves of honey in the wintertime, then it would be usur to go ahead and move a mat to cover the beehives for that purpose. Because as Rabbi Yitzchak explained, actually in such a case it would be usur because you're not allowed to move a permitted item for a forbidden item. And that would be forbidden during the winter because we're talking about that there's only two loaves and you didn't think about it and it's mukta for the bees. So why go ahead and look for a different halacha that we're warning you about of Tzedah, where even in the malacha of Tiltel, of Muktzah, we could have told you a case of when you didn't think about it from before Shabbos. And therefore, it seemed to indicate, not like Rabbi Yitzchak. And that the Gemara says, no, that's not a difficulty, because hachikamen. This is what the Brice was saying. Yes, we could have differentiated in itself, but we wanted to say chiddush, even when you did think about it. And that is, afa pisha chishav alein, even when you did think about it, and you're right, then there's no problem of muktzah, because those two loaves are considered permitted items, still we wanted to teach you this following halacha. Ubava chulei skaven lotzit. But as long, even when it's permitted, there is no problem about muktzah. But as long as your intention is not to go ahead and trap the bees that are inside, because even when it is permitted for the halachas of muktzah, there is another prohibition that you have to be concerned about, of that you might intend to trap them. And that even though the main concern of covering the honeycomb, the beehive is, as we explained, mipnei hagshamim, because you want it just to protect it from the elements, so which is just to prevent what's coming from the outside and not to trap what's inside. Still, we wanted to tell you there is another thing to be concerned about, even when that is permitted, of the moving of the machzelas, but just be careful, don't intend to also at the same time keep the bees trapped inside, because then that would be a violation of the malacha of tzedah. And therefore, there's no diuk, there's no riot to say that we could have differentiated in that case, we could have, but we still wanted to say this other chiddush, even when it's mutter for tiltel, there is a problem about tzedah. But now the Gemara asks on this explanation of this brisa that we were using to resolve the opinion of Rabbi Yitzchak. But Maya Kimta, according to who did you just define this brisa to explain the opinion of Rabbi Yitzchak? Rabbi Yehuda, the Islay Muktzah, you're going like Rabbi Yehuda, that holds of the Isser, the wider, broader interpretation of Muktzah. Now, essentially, what the Gemara's question is as follows. The question from the first half of the brisa, the Gemara is asking, should not have been going like Rabbi Yehuda. It should have been like Rabbi Shimon, who doesn't hold of the problems of the broader interpretation of Muktzah, and therefore we would very well understand, according to everybody, why you're allowed to go ahead and take a mat and cover over the beehive, because he's not concerned. He doesn't have the problem of it being Muktzah, and you're allowed to move something for it. That's not. Now, the reason why we went through a more contrived answer, and that we had to say that it's talking about, even though during the winter there is no honey, and which, according to Yitzchak, that would be problematic because you can't move a permitted item for a muktzah item where there's no honey to make this beehive permitted to cover it, but because there's the two loaves of honey that are inside. Now, the reason why we went through such a route is because we wanted to say that the brisa like Rabbi Yehuda, because we're coming to resolve Rabbi Yitzchak, who on him is who we had asked the question on this brisa from, who he holds like Rabbi Yehuda in regards to the halacha of muktzah. So we wanted to define that even though Rabbi Yitzchak holds of the halacha of muktzah, because that's what his whole halacha is based on, that when you have a muktzah item, then you cannot cover it, even with a permitted item, you can't move that permitted item for the muktzah item, which is basing it on the strict version of Rabbi Yehuda, and that we wanted to explain, so how does he understand this halacha and this brisa, that it is like Rabbi Yehuda, but still it's going to be permitted, because there is something permitted inside of here, which are the two loaves, which you had thought about before Shabbos, which is contrived. It's relying on many layers of explanations. First of all, we're talking about that these two loaves, and that you thought about it, and that's what makes it permitted, and that's why you can move the mat for it. That the Gemara is asking, but aim is safe. Well, look at the end of the brisa, which seems to be not like a Yehuda anyway. It says, that As we said, that although you're allowed to go ahead and cover it, as we explained, because there's going to be something permitted inside, but as long as your intention is not to trap what's inside of it, even though by default that they will be trapped because you're covering the beehive with the mat so that the rain doesn't ruin it, but as long as your intention is not to trap it, then it's okay, you're not going to be violating the Issa Tzeda. Now, I saw in Reb Shimon, that goes like Reb Shimon, not like Reb Yehuda, because it's Reb Shimon the Amad that he says, Davashein Miskaven is Mutter, that something that's not intended to be violated is permitted to do. Now, so therefore, how can you go through this whole explanation resolving Rabbi Yitzchak by saying, well, how can you use the mat to cover the muktzah item? Oh, must be, there's these two loaves, but wait, two loaves even, they're muktzah for the bees. Oh, but you had thought about it before Shabbos. But what does that mean? Look at the end of the Braisa. The whole discussion is moot because we're not talking about Rabbi Yehuda. We're talking about Rabbi Shimon that he has no problem with muktzah at all. You could just go ahead and cover the beehive with the mat because it doesn't make a difference. This is a permitted item, you can move it. And we could see that it's Reb Shimon because the end of the Braisa says that even when you're doing Tzeda, as long as you didn't intend to do it, then it's going to be Mutter, which is Reb Shimon, not Reb Yehuda. Now the Gemara responds to that question. If it is with Reb Shimon, what do you mean? Wait a second. Can you even say that the Seif is like Reb Shimon? But V'abayev or Rav Damatavayev, both Abay and Rav explain in Reb Shimon's opinion, then Moed Reb Shimon b'psik reshav l'yamos. Even Reb Shimon, who allows a melacha that was not intended to be done, but if it's inevitable, which is the term of psik resha v'yamas, which is an analogy of if one's going to psik resha, cut off the head of a chicken, and it's not going to die, well, I didn't want to kill the chicken, I just wanted to eat it. Well, but of course, it's by default going to happen, so that's even Reb Shimon hold, that's usher. So even though it's not intended, but only something that's not inevitable. But if it's inevitable, even Reb Shimon agrees that's usher. So here where you're covering the entire beehive, well, you know, I'm not intending to trap them. I just want to protect it from the elements. Yeah, but by default, that's happening. So even according to Reb Shimon, that would be usher. So we don't even understand in the first place what would the end be. So how are you asking, oh, it's Reb Shimon? Even according to Reb Shimon, that wouldn't work out. So here what the Gemara says, and this would resolve their question that they're asking, La'olam kulei b'yehuda. Really, as we said before, the entire Braisa is Reb Yehuda, and therefore we can use this as a springboard to ask on Reb Yitzchak and then answer according to Reb Yitzchak that it's not difficult because there were these two loaves that were thought about before Shabbos. But then the question is, so how do we understand the Seifa? But v'hachem ha'iskinah, here what we're talking about in the Braisa is the isba kavi. There are windows in the walls of the beehive. Now, and therefore, even though you're covering the top of it, they're not going to be trapped if you also don't cover the windows that are inside the beehive. Now, on that, the Gemara explains further. Now, v'loy tema l'Rabbi Yehuda, and don't say in the interpretation of this Braisa according to Yehuda, u'bavad shelo yiskaven lotzud. As long as you're not going to intend to trap, because that's not going to help, as we said. Because even if it wouldn't be psik resha, according to Yehuda, the one's intention doesn't make a difference. Even if it's not maskavin, you're still going to be violating it. Rather, as the Gemara continues on to Amud Beis, Ele'ema, rather, the way you should interpret the words of the Braisa is, Ubavat shelo yasena mitsuda. When it says you shouldn't intend to trap, it means to say don't make it into a trap, which means to say that don't close the windows too. And therefore, if you're not going to close the windows, then although you're covering it on the top with the mat, it's still going to be okay because you're not making it into a trap because it won't be trapped because they can still get out through the doors, through the windows that are in the side, and therefore that's why it's okay, even according to Yehuda. Now, that the Gemara has Peshitta. What do you mean? That's pretty obvious. Now, since according to Yehuda we're saying that Davashein Meskavin is also something that's not intended, it's forbidden, so why did this Braisa have to tell us, which we're saying it's Rabbi Yehuda, Ubavach le'yisen mitzuda, as long as you don't make it into a trap? What do you mean? Say the trapping is an av malacha. So of course you can't make it into a trap, because even if you wouldn't be intending to do that, it wouldn't make a difference according to Rabbi Yehuda. Any case that you're going to be making into a trap is a violation. So therefore, what is the Braisa teaching us? That if we're explaining it's like, if we'd say it's like Rabbi Shimon, so we could say that don't make it into a trap, because even if you're not intending to, but still, it would be usher if, let's say, it would be inevitable. According to Yehuda, there's no purpose in saying that because it's always usher to make a trap, even if it's not your intention. So that the Gemara answers, no, actually there is a chiddush that we're teaching us that you shouldn't go ahead and cover the windows and don't make it into a trap. Because ma'adotema, I would have thought to say, b'minoi notzit usher, when did we say that something is going to be a violation of the melacha of tzeda? That's if this species is something that's generally trapped. People want to trap them, for example, animals or birds where people want to eat them, where they were going to say it's forbidden to trap them. However, in such a case regarding the bees in the beehive, shaloi b'minoi notzid mutter, but regarding something that its species, not generally things that are trapped, where no one's going to be eating bees, no one wants the bees themselves, they might want to get the honey from the bees, but no one's trapping that, an ant or things that are mosquitoes, you're not trapping them for the trapping itself, where it's to get that item itself, then actually I would say that would be permitted. It wouldn't be a violation of the Malach of Tzedah. Kamash Malan, that's the Chiddush Rabbi Yehuda's teaching, that even if it's Einan B'minei Natsid, it's still going to be a violation of the Malach of Tzedah. That is what we're teaching, not to go ahead and cover the windows. However, again, it's not about Kavana, because even according to Reb Shimon, it would be Aser if it's inevitable. It's just saying don't turn it into a trap by covering not only the top, but also the windows of the beehive, which would then do Malach of Tzedah, which again would be a Chiddush, of that, yes, if you're making it to Tzedah, even if it's not the type of thing that generally you want to trap, it still would be a problem of trapping on Shabbos. So that's one approach, again, as we said in the resolution of the opinion of Rabbi Yitzchak, that the reason why he allowed to move the mat to cover the beehive was because of the two chalas that were thought about, although it's wintertime and there is no honey, but there's the two chalas, the two loaves of honey that are safe for the bees, which were thought about from before Shabbos, that you want to use it, and that's why they're not mokta, and that's where you can move the mats for them. Now Rav Ashi says, truthfully, it's like we had answered originally, that there is honey inside the beehive for human consumption. Now, the question was, what do you mean? That's good during the summertime when there's honey in the beehive. But in the wintertime, where's their honey in the beehives in the winter? And there, Rav Ashi says, that's not a question. Because, mikatani b'moisachama u'b'moisaksham, did we say during the summer months and during the winter months? That's not the words that we used. We said b'chamam nehacham. We said when there's sun, that you want to protect it with the mat because of the sun. U'b'ksham nehacham k'tan, and because of the rain, then you want to cover it because of the rain. That's what we said. Now, that's not talking about summer and winter. We're actually talking about b'yemi nisan and b'yemi tishrei. We're talking about nisan and tishrei, d'ikachama v'ikasham, where then at those periods, there is sun and there's rain, v'ikad v'ash, and there's honey. But you're right, during the wintertime, actually, when there is no honey inside, then Rabbi Yitzchak would hold, actually would be yasser, because there's everything that's inside of it is mukta, and therefore you wouldn't be able to move a permitted item for the mukta item. Now, the Gemara continues explaining our Mishnah, that said, we said one of the hetayim we allowed on Yom Tov, and even on Shabbos, that you allowed to move a kli, is to go ahead and catch the drops that fall in, that let's say someone has a leak in his house, you allowed to go ahead and move the kli and catch the drops on Shabbos. So Tanu Lidna Braisa, an elaboration of this halacha, im nismali hakli, if the utensil fills up, and there's a lot dripping in on Shabbos, so shevich, you can go outside and spill it out, and v'shein, then you can repeat it, you bring it back underneath where it's dripping, and you let it continue catching the raindrops. V'ein nimna, and you don't have to stop, and that is, you could continue doing this the whole entire Shabbos if you need to. Go ahead, let it fill up, take the bucket, spill it out, and bring it back, and do that the whole Shabbos. Now the Gemara brings a story related to this halacha, that be'richaya da'abaya dalef, the house, the place where Abaya's mill was kept, there was a big leak. There was a lot of rain, there was a lot of water that was dripping into where his mill was. Now, they were made out of cement, and that would dissolve it because of the rain, and he didn't have enough cups and bowls and place to catch all the rain that was dripping into there, and it's going to ruin his millstone. Now, Aslaka made the rabbi, so he came in from the rabbi, what should I do? So Amalisa, rabbi told him, Zil Ayil Lepur Lahasam. I'll give you an idea. Bring your bed into that room where the millstone is kept. Now, once your bedroom is there now, that will make that to have a millstone in your bedroom is going to be a disgusting thing to be in front of your bed, which is the halacha, as the Gemara will elaborate on this shortly, of the halacha of graf sharei, which means to say when you have a graf sharei literally means a utensil that's used for excrement, now, which that's a halacha that's broadly interpreted for something that's disgusting. Although something could be mukta, but if it's something that's disgusting, there was a special dispensation to allow to move it for the honor of the people to move it out from where it is. Now, if you're going to move your bed in there, so now it's going to be disgusting to have the mill over there, then va'apke, then you're permitted to go ahead and take it outside. Now it won't be under the ring, which is dripping on it, so although the mill is mukta, but such a case that your bedroom will be there, as the Gemara says shortly, that a graf sharei, you're allowed to go ahead and take things out to the garbage. So here also, I have a great idea, move your bed in there, then it's going to be disgusting to have the mill. Then you'll be able to move it out, and it won't be ruined by the rain that's dripping in. Now, Yosef Abai v'kukashli. So Abai was sitting, and he was pondering this. He was bothered by this psak. He says, v'chi oisin grav sharei l'katchila? Are you allowed to go ahead and initially create, as the Gemara actually says elsewhere, that you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to go ahead and create a situation of something that will then be disgusting to then go ahead and move it out. And therefore, how am I allowed to go ahead and move my bed in there, which will then create a situation of graf sharei to make it then disgusting to then be able to move it out? Now, Adahachi, in the meantime, while he was pondering this psak, nafal be'richai d'abaya. His millstone fell in and the whole thing was ruined. Now, Amar Sabaya said, tasteily, this, I deserve this, de'avri ad'amar, because I violated the words of my Rebbe who told me that I'm allowed to go ahead and do this. Now, As Tosfos says, but why is that? It seems to be Abaye was correct, as the Gemara said in the Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, that one cannot go ahead and make a Grav Shri L'Ketchila. So Tosfos says two reasons why Rabbi held that here it's permitted. Either because of a loss of money, which we allow certain heterim because of the loss of the Beirichaya, of the place of where the millstone is, or because it's actually not considered like a tchil over here, because you're not creating a situation, because since the rain is already dripping in, that's not considered like as if you're creating the situation, and therefore since there's already this element, you're allowed to go ahead and move your bed in and go ahead and do the heter of Gav Sharei and moving it out, and that's why Abaye deserved to be punished by not accepting the psak of his Rebbe and thinking that it shouldn't be permitted. Now, relating to this halacha, the Gemara expounds upon this heter of Grav Sharei. Amar Shmuel says, Grav Sharei, a utensil, a receptacle of excrement, the Avet Shemir Raglayim and the vessel of urine, which actually Graf and Avet are both earthenware vessels, and they both serve in the similar function, is just that the Graf that holds Re'i is called Graf, and the utensil that holds the urine is called the Avet. So now, regarding these two utensils, mutaloy tzin la'ashma, a person is allowed to go ahead and take it out to the garbage. And that is because of this heter of what we're calling Grav Sharei. Now, ukshumachziroi, when he's bringing it back in, because he wanted to take it out, it smells, it's dirty, he's taking it out to the garbage. But when he brings it back, because they're going to need to use it, nisan b'mayim machziroi, he has to first put in water into this graf, or this ovet, and then he can bring it back into this house. Now, the reason is because, actually, this utensil is what's called muktzamach mesmias. It's set aside, in other words, it's not usable on Shabbos or Yom Tov because of that it's disgusting, because that's what these types of utensils are. Now, if one would not pour water into that, one would not be able to move it to bring it back into the house to use it again, to be able to relieve oneself. Now, to move it out in the first place, that's permitted because it's for the Kavod HaBrius, as we said. For the dignity of people, we allow it to take out something that's disgusting. So that's permitted even when there's no water in it, when there's just excrement or just the thing itself. But to bring it back in, you would only be able to bring it back in if you poured water in it first, which would have some utility because of the water. Now, the Gemara says that Savimina, the students who heard this halacha of Shmuel, thought to say that Graf Shuri'i, this whole heter, was only when, because of the graf, because of the receptacle. Now, since there's a kli, which a kli generally is something that's a permitted item on Shabbos, so although it's a little bit disgusting because you have excrement inside of it, but that's why you're allowed to move the excrement, because added to that, you have a utensil holding it, which sounds like agav mana'in, that you're only allowed to move excrement on Shabbos where if there's at least a utensil holding it. However, b'fnei atzmoi, but if it's just the excrement itself, to move that, which is, or any other disgusting thing with one's hand, and to take that out, that loy, there Chacham did not permit a person to actually take out the disgusting thing itself. That is totally mukta, and that you wouldn't be able to move out. Now, that the Gemara says that, no, tashema, and that the Gemara says you could hear from this following incident where actually the het of Graf Sharei is not just because of that it's with a kli, it was just said because that's the common case. Actually, it's permitted even to move the disgusting thing itself with one's hands. Because there was this mouse that was found in the place of where the besamim, the incense of Rav Ashi, was kept. And they found a mouse there. So Amalhu Rav Ashi, Rav Ashi said to those people, Nakti bitzutzise, grab it by its tail, vafku, and get it out of here. I don't want this disgusting thing. It's considered a Graf Sharei, where we see that not only are you permitted agav mana through a utensil, but even to pick up the mukta item itself is included in this dispensation of getting a disgusting thing out, even though generally that it's mukta. Now the Gemara continues the next Mishnah, continuing on the halachas of Isri Dirabanan that apply in Yom Tov. So Mishnah tells us three different categories of things that were forbidden midrabanan on Yom Tov. So the Mishnah tells us, Kol shechayav nila mishum shvus, anything that one is obligated in, that's forbidden to be done because of the isidrabanan, not to do it on Shabbos because of what's considered in the category of shvusin, or mishum rishus. That is, means to say, even something that has somewhat of a mitzvah relationship with it. It's not a full-fledged mitzvah, but it's close to being a mitzvah. That's what's called in this element, dva harishus. And still there's going to be isidrabanan related to it. Or mishum mitzvah. Or a third category is even something that's actually a real mitzvah. Still the Chacham made it forbidden to be done b'Shabbos on Shabbos. So regarding all these three categories, whether something that has no relation with a mitzvah whatsoever, or something that's somewhat related to a mitzvah, which we're calling rishus, or something that's actually a mitzvah but it's forbidden on Shabbos, then chayav nalav, then one is obligated not to do these things b'yom tov on yom tov also. Now the Mishnah clarifies v'eluhin. Now these are the things that we said that are forbidden, mishum shvus, because of isidra banan, that which is the first category, that the Chacham said that one has to go ahead and refrain from these things on Shabbos, which we're saying in our Mishnah applies to Yom Tov too, and there is no mitzvah whatsoever that we're preventing you from doing whatsoever. As the Mishnah tells us, first of all, lo'olin be'ilan, a person is not allowed to go ahead and climb up a tree on Shabbos, which again we're saying the same thing as in Yom Tov, and the Gemara will explain all the reasons for these Yisur Drabbanon, why the Rabbanon say you can't climb a tree on Shabbos. The lo'irech v'nagav behemi, not allowed to ride on an animal. B'lei shotna p'nei amayim, you're not allowed to go ahead and swim on the surface of the water. B'lei metafkin, you cannot clap your hands. B'lei mesafkin, you're not allowed to clap your hands on your thighs. B'lei meraktin, you're not allowed to dance with one's feet. Now all these things, that the last things we said, are clapping and clapping on one's thigh and dancing, they're all about because of rejoicing and of singing and dancing, which the Gemara will explain. The reason why you can't do that on Shabbos is because they were concerned that you might come to then fix musical instruments, which is considered mesakan mana, making utensil, which is forbidden mederaisa, and therefore you're not allowed to go ahead and do these musical accompaniments either, that of clapping or of dancing on Shabbos or Yom Tov. Now, those are things that we say you're not allowed to do on Shabbos and Yom Tov, which have no mitzvah of doing them anyway. But ve'elohin mishum rishos. Now the following, which is from the second category, are things that are considered somewhat in the middle. And that is, really, we would think that these things would be permitted to be done on Shabbos and Yom Tov because they're close to what a mitzvah is. And yet still the Chacham say that it's aser. Now as Rashi explains, the reason why we call it rishos, which generally is translated as voluntary, is because the third case of the Mishnah is a real full-fledged mitzvah. Now regarding a full-fledged mitzvah, these are called rishos, voluntary. But regarding the first cases that are called shvus, where there is full-fledged Issur Drabbanan, because they don't have any mitzvah that the Chacham are preventing you from doing those things. And since it has no mitzvah whatsoever, those are called shvus, full-fledged Issur Drabbanan. Middle ones are called rishus, that they would seem to be voluntary. And the third one are called mitzvah. So the second category, what are the things that are, even though they're somewhat of mitzvahs, yet still the Chacham said, you're not allowed to do them on Shabbos Midrabbanan. They're leidanan, you're not allowed to judge a law case. You cannot betroth, you can't get engaged to a woman, which the Gemara will explain why is that considered a shus. It seems to be the first mitzvah in the Torah of Perverivia. And neither can one do chalitza or yibum, which is either consummating or refraining from marrying one's brother's wife when the brother had died without any children. Now, ve'elahen mitzvah, this is the third category. These are things that are full-fledged mitzvahs, and yet still the Rabbanan said, rabbinically, you cannot do them on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Limekdishin, you cannot go ahead and make things hektish to Hashem, to the Beis HaMikdash. B'loy marichin, you cannot do the halacha of erichin, which is when you tell somebody erkecha alai, your value, I have to go ahead and give that to the Beis HaMikdash, which as the Torah explains in Vayikach of Zayin, each person, male or female, according to how old they are, how much you have to give. B'loy machrimin, and neither can you do the halachas of cherim, which is when you say, this behemoth should be cherim, which generally, when you don't say where the cherim goes, that means to the bedek habayis, which is also a mitzvah of giving to the Beis HaMikdash. And v'loy magbin truma ma'aser, neither can you go ahead and separate truma ma'asers on Shabbos and Yom Tov, where although these things are mitzvahs, still the Rabban said you cannot do them on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Now that the Mishnah tells us, kol elu b'yom tov amru. Now all these things were forbidden to be done in Yom Tov, kavochayim b'Shabbos, and all the more so Shabbos, which is the most stringent, and there is no even hetem of eichel nefesh. For sure, you cannot do all these things on Shabbos, as the Mishnah concludes, because in bein Yom Tov l'Shabbos, there is no difference in the halachas of Yom Tov and Shabbos. Elo eichel nefesh b'levad, only for the consumption of food, which is permitted to do malachas with that on Yom Tov, but regarding everything else, there is no difference. And just like these things are forbidden in Yom Tov, they're forbidden on Shabbos too. Now, the Gemara explains all the cases that we said that are Isurid Drabbanan in Yom Tov and Shabbos. Why did Drabbanan say these things are forbidden? So the Mishnah opened up with the case of, which these are from the categories of Shvus, which have no element of mitzvah whatsoever, was Loi Ol Me'ilan. You're not allowed to go up on a tree on Yom Tov. Now, the reason for that is Gezerish Me'idlash. It's a decree that you might come to rip off one of the branches or something that's on the tree, which is Issur D'oraisa of Kaitzer. And therefore, since you're going to be detaching something that's attached, which a malacha d'oraisa, so that's where you should go on the tree because of that concern. The next case was, v'lei reich v'nagabe behemi, not allowed to ride an animal. Why is that forbidden? That's a gezeirah shem yitzeh chutzalchum, that's a decree that you might come to go out of the boundaries that's permitted to go on Shabbos and Yom Tov, where since you're not going by feet, you don't see the signs of tchum, and you're just riding on the horse, you're going, you're not going to notice you're going out of the tchum. And that's why you're not allowed to ride an animal on Yom Tov. Now, so that the Gemara would say, Shema Minah, from there you hear that Tchumen D'oraisa must be that the halacha of Tchumen, which is a machlekes elsewhere, if that's derabanan or deraisa, our Mishnah seems to be an indication that it is deraisa from the fact that we say you can't ride an animal because you might come to go out of the tchum. If it was only issa derabanan, we wouldn't say, which is what's called geizrin gzeir legzeir, we wouldn't make a rabbinic decree because you might violate a different rabbinic decree. It's only if you might violate a deraisa, biblical, that we make a rabbinic decree. So it must be, if we're making gzeira of riding an animal because of tchum, it must be that it's deraisa. So the Gemara says, rather, not to indicate that it's like the mandama that is deraisa, and there is a mandama that says derabanan, el gzeira shem yachtel gzmer. Actually, the reason is because not because you might go out of tchum, but because you might come to tear off a branch from a tree because you want to hit the animal to go faster, which again, that would be a violation of kaitzer from something that's attached. That's why you cannot ride an animal on Yom Tov Shabbos. The next case was, v'lei shatn up in the amayim, and I'll go swimming on the water. That's a decree that you might come to make these barrel of the swimmers, which they would make a barrel out of this gemi, which they would weave it, and they would make it in the shape of a long barrel, which they use to be able to float with and to learn how to swim. Since one might make that when they're swimming, which would be an issa deraisa, that's why not let us swim on Shabbos and Yom Tov. And then the final cases that spoke about, which are totally isur drabanan with no mitzvah element to them, were v'lei metapchin, v'lei mesapchin, v'lei meraktin. You're not allowed to clap, you're not allowed to slap, and neither are you allowed to dance on Shabbos and Yom Tov. What's the reason why these were forbidden? A gzeira shemesakin klisha. That's a decree because if we allow to do these things that accompany music, you might come to have the music that's played, and then you might go to head, and even if you're not, you're clapping and clapping, you don't want to use the instrument, you might come to fix it, which would then be an issur deraisa, making of Makabe Patrish, of finishing something off, of making it into a kli. Therefore, we're not allowed to do these things either, because all these things are gezeiros, so you might come to do isur deraisa, and that's why these things are from the first category of things that are forbidden, because they have no mitzvah relationship whatsoever, and that's why they're called shvusin, and they're forbidden to be done on Yom Tov, kavachemer on Shabbos.